What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this is almost like a fucking reunion tour at this point, man. Like,
It is. It is.
it's been a month since we've recorded an episode. You got married and then you had to travel for work. And I think we just needed a break that we didn't really know that we needed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of sucks that it all came into fruition in October when we're supposed to be like
I know.
doing this fucking wild ass venture of, well, all 10 episodes of The Haunting of Hill House, which is what this first part is. But I mean, it
Yeah.
is what it is, right? We're
I
here.
know. Fucking guy had to get married in October.
Yeah, what a stupid idiot. But no, we're still gonna follow through with what we were gonna do. It's all just going to be a little more condensed, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I previously mentioned, we are talking about the first half of The Haunting of Hill House in this episode. So episodes 1 through 5. This was your idea a while back now.
Yeah.
Do you remember what kind of sparked this idea?
I wanted to rewatch this series anyway, and we hadn't really talked about a theme or anything we wanted to do for month of October, so it's kind of shot out there. I do Hill House and
Nice.
yeah.
Have you watched the other like Flanagan move shows?
No, I because Bly Manor came out, I think, 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Bly Manor
Actually, it's
was,
probably.
yeah, I can't remember what year that was, but it was a while ago.
But I didn't watch it. I tried watching it last, Jesus, time flies, 2 years ago. And I think I watched like the first three episodes, maybe, but just kind of didn't feel it.
Didn't click with you.
Yeah, I haven't seen the House of Usher in his other TV show, so
Midnight Mass. Yeah, Bly Manor was 2020, so that was 4 years ago now, which is insane. Because like when you think about it, this one was 2018. Like this shit was 6 years ago, man. Crazy. We are getting old.
yeah, and it kind of, piqued my interest of possibly doing other TV seasons,
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Yeah. I mean, we've already done season one of Black Mirror, which is only 3 episodes, but I mean, yeah, this isn't like a huge undertaking for a show like this that only has like 8 or 10 episodes. Now, if you start asking me to do like the fucking, what was that Archie show that had like 26 episodes per season? I'm probably gonna decline, but 10 episodes is it's doable. But yeah, I'm glad you picked this because yeah, I have been wanting to rewatch this, and I'll watch like the first couple episodes, and then you know me with TV shows, I just get distracted, and then so this is just a perfect reason for me to actually follow through with rewatching it. So. Yeah. Anyways, before we talk about this show and dive a little deeper into the episode, let's kick off our news and booze. I almost forgot what it was called. What are you drinking tonight?
Just drinking a Michelob Ultra.
Nice.
What about you?
I have one of those on deck. But to start the evening off, I'm drinking a Cutwater Tequila Margarita.
Nice.
You ever had these?
No, I haven't. No.
Be careful. Because they're so good, but they're like 12.5% and they hit you hard.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
But they're
Nice.
very good.
Yeah.
I kind of took a little bit of a break from drinking for a while because
Yeah, me too.
I got kind of annihilated at your wedding.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty good at Casey's wedding. So there's
Yeah.
just, yeah, I just took a little bit of a break.
Yeah, you got it every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. I guess yeah, we have a month of movies to go through that we've watched, so try and keep
Well,
it short and sweet.
so you can tell I've been busy. So I just looked at my Letterboxd. I watched one movie, and it was on Saturday night. The
In a
last movie,
month?
the last movie I logged
Jesus.
was October 2nd.
Holy shit, dude.
So I've only watched one movie, and that was Trap from 2024.
Oh yeah, you liked it, eh?
I loved it, man. It
Yeah.
was so good. The first like hour is just in the concert and just it's so smart, and Josh Hartnett fucking crushed it, man. He is so good in this movie.
Nice.
I think I don't know if this has already been mentioned. It's not really a spoiler, but I think possibly this could be in the same universe as Split.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch it. I can't give an opinion, but
It's just that vibe that, especially with Josh Hartnett's character, I think he would be a perfect character added to Split.
Okay.
Now, I haven't seen Glass, so I don't know how that movie ended, like if that universe is still going, but
Yeah.
I don't I could see M. Night kind of throwing that in there.
Okay. So where does Trapped kind of rank in your M. Night Shyamalan movies?
Honestly, pretty high. M. Night is like, I don't know. I'm like hot and cold with him. Some
Oh
movies I
yeah.
really like of his, but other movies are just like terrible. Like, what are you even doing? Like, I think the last one I watched that he came out with was Old, which I haven't seen since theaters, which I thought was pretty good. But this is definitely probably in my top three of his,
Okay.
honestly.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I rented it on VOD. I don't think it was that much to rent it. So,
I think it's like $10 I've seen. Nice.
yeah, that's it. I bought Silent Hill 2 remake, so I've been playing that a
Right.
bit. It's a fun game, scary.
Is it good? Like they did
It
a good job with
is,
the remake.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess they doubled the playtime of it too.
Oh, really?
So I guess they've added a bunch of stuff to it.
Is that
So
their justification of making it a $93 game?
yeah, it's expensive.
It's fucking
But I
stupid.
think why it's so expensive is because the other Silent Hill games are so rare and hard to find. And those games are so expensive too. Like, I think like the original Silent Hill 2 game, like if you can find it, like goes for hundreds of dollars. Like, it's crazy.
Really? Let's check eBay right now. PS2. Holy. Whoa. Yeah, okay. The PS2 complete manual and case tested, like complete version, $210.
Jeez.
That's nuts, man, because like I remember having that game.
Should have hung on to
It's like my fucking holographic Charizards.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, like 255, just the disc alone, $124.
Jeez.
Silent Hill Origins, 213. Silent Hill 4, 220 with the case. Wow, man, that's nuts. Makes me want to go to like a yard sale and try and find them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. Find some person that doesn't know what they have.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I've watched. So
Cool. Pretty boring guy.
going to watch Smile 2 tomorrow night.
Nice.
So
I wanted so bad to go watch Terrifier 3, but I think at this point now I just need to wait for it to come out on home on demand. I know
we're
you're not a
just
big Terrifier guy.
Or just let me know when you want to watch it and come up and we'll go together.
I know I wanted to go like last weekend, but then shit just, I
Yeah.
don't know, didn't have time. You know how it is. All right, let's see what I have. Watch VHS Beyond.
Nice.
It was pretty good. I liked it. It was a different, I don't know, it's more like in space and sci-fi and stuff, so it was really cool.
Yeah, I
They've
heard
already,
oh, go ahead.
oh, you go.
I was gonna say, I heard that's one of the tapes Justin Long directed,
Yeah, Justin and his brother.
and Kate Siegel actually.
Yeah, so Kate Siegel did the last one. Her and Flanagan both kind of combined on it. And I don't know if you follow her or not, but Elena Pierce, she used to be an IGN reviewer. She's in it. She's the main
Oh,
character in
nice.
it. Yeah, it's cool. Sarah and I watched Chimp Crazy, which is a 4-episode miniseries on Crave. Same director as Tiger King. It's wild, man.
Yeah,
Like,
I want to watch it.
people are crazy. And then continuing on, because I was falling very, very behind in my Hooptober challenge. So I've watched Prom Night, Warlock, Elvira, The Innkeepers, The Stuff, Exists, which was a really good found footage movie. Exists. I liked it. Cemetery Man, Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, Fresh, and Suspiria, which are all on my list.
Nice.
And I'm still like, fuck, I think 17 movies short, so I need to
I'm fucking it. It's gonna be going into freaking November.
Yeah, you need to watch like 3 movies a day now.
I know, I've watched like I think 28 out of 31 or something. Yeah.
You've watched that many, or you need to watch that many?
Sorry, yes, I need to watch that many. Yeah.
But I've been having fun with it. Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, I definitely recommend checking that one out.
Okay.
It's from 1965. It's an anthology movie, kind of like in the same vein as like Creepshow. But I really liked it. Cemetery Man was really fun. And then yeah, the other ones, they're all right.
Okay.
Well,
Nice.
Suspiria is
Yeah.
fantastic, obviously, but so yeah, I've been focusing on that. Playing some games. I'm working through Mortal Kombat 1 right now,
Nice.
trying to get all the trophies in that. Yeah, nothing crazy. Been reading, trying to make sure I hit that reading goal for the year. That's about it. I don't have anything for news. I kind of forgot, but
Yeah.
talking about Terrifier 3, that movie's fucking killing it in theaters.
Oof, it is.
I think it had like a $26 million domestic opening weekend,
Yeah.
which is nuts. So I feel like they need to be very proud of themselves for what they've been able to create with that franchise.
Yeah.
Like to have that movie, A, just make it to theaters and then B, fucking destroying it in theaters. Like it's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
So
crazy.
kudos to the team behind that. Do you have a 4K list for us?
Sure.
Sure.
All right, so we got Twisters.
Nice.
Which was I was actually gonna rent instead of Trap, but it's like, yeah, I watched horror in a bit, so Deadpool and Wolverine.
Nice.
More Deadpool Wolverine, the amazing Borderlands movie that got released this year. Signs, 4K.
Cool.
The Sixth Sense.
Okay.
The
Oh.
Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Sweet. That's actually on my list.
Yeah, me
So
too. Yeah.
maybe I should buy
Yeah.
that.
Some movie called Cheeky. I don't know what that is, but probably, yeah. Hellraiser Quartet of Torment.
Only
Don't know
four
what the
of
fuck
them.
that is, but all the Hellraiser movies are on my list, so I guess I have to add that one now too. The Wolfman,
Nice.
Death Becomes Her,
Okay.
Ghost. Columbia Classics Collection Volume 5.
Oh, they got another one.
Don't know what's in this. Probably movies I've never heard of. So All the King's Men, On the Waterfront, A Man for All Seasons, Tootsie, The Age of Innocence, and Little Women from 2019. And some movie called Gummo.
Whoa, Gummo's on 4K?
Well, you know what that movie is?
Yeah, it's fucked, man.
Is it?
Yeah, like
Is it
very.
like a horror movie or?
I wouldn't consider it a horror, but it's like just a really fucked up weird movie. Yeah, I'm surprised it's on Criterion, to be
I
honest.
might have to add that to my watch list.
Yeah, just check it out. It's weird.
Yeah.
I want to see if the cabinet. It's on Amazon. Oh no. It is on Amazon, but it's like region restricted. Anyways, perhaps, maybe. All right, you ready to talk about this TV show?
Yeah.
All right, so like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about episodes 1 through 5 of The Haunting of Hill House from 2018. This was directed by Mike Flanagan. This was the first in the series, I guess, of shows that he released in a well in the past 6 years. But I have a series rundown that I got from Wikipedia. So, The Haunting of Hill House is an American supernatural horror drama television miniseries created and directed by Mike Flanagan, produced by Amblin Television and Paramount Television for Netflix, and serves as the first entry in the Haunting Anthology series. It is loosely based on the 1959 novel of the same name by Shirley Jackson. The plot alternates between two timelines following five adult siblings whose paranormal experiences at Hell House continue to haunt them in the present day, and flashbacks depicting events leading up to the eventful night in 1992 when the family fled from the mansion. What are your thoughts on this house?
I would want to live in it, but not when it's haunted.
So, like, if you were the first people that lived there, like, that'd be sick for you.
Yeah. Sick house. It's massive. Big yard. Feels like it's in the middle of nowhere. And just like, I feel like as a kid, that's like the perfect house. Like just
Oh yeah.
seeing Luke and Nell just like explore this house, just yeah.
Like playing in the dumb waiter and all that stuff. Yeah, that'd be
Well,
fun.
maybe not that,
Yeah, I agree though. This house is absolutely phenomenal. To be the people that like built it and lived in it first. Yeah, it'd be amazing. I've broken up the cast list into two parts, like the present time cast and the younger cast, just because I feel
Okay.
like everybody deserves to kind of have
Yeah.
a shout out. Starting off with the present time cast, we have, I don't know, like, is that Michael or Michelle
Yeah.
Huseman, who played Steve. Elizabeth Reiser played Shirley. Kate Siegel played Theo. Victoria Pedretti played Nell. Oliver Jackson Cohen played Luke, and Timothy Hutton played Hugh, who is their father. Victoria Pedretti, who played Nell, this was her first acting credit besides like two shorts that she had.
That's wild.
She is so fucking good in this show, man.
She's amazing.
Like, how this is her first like actually big acting role is
Yeah.
beyond me.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, she's incredible. And then the young cast, I have Paxton Singleton, who plays Steve. Lulu Wilson plays Shirley. McKenna Grace plays Theo. Violet McGraw, who is absolutely adorable,
Oh,
plays
yeah.
Nell. Julian Hilliard plays Luke. Henry Thomas plays Hugh. And then Carla Gugino plays Olivia, who is their mother.
Man, Carla Gugino is so gorgeous.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in this, like her with her longer hair. Just,
Yeah.
oh.
Yeah. And she was in Willis Flanagan's other movie he did, the Stephen King one.
Gerald's Game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. She was in Sin City too, wasn't she? I think.
Maybe.
I think she was in that. But yeah, I agree. But yeah, it's a big cast because I mean we have 12, 13, 13 main
Yeah.
characters really, like just because it's going back and forth between the timelines.
Yeah, I mean McKenna Grace and Lulu Wilson, they've kind of become bigger stars. Not like huge stars, but you know.
Lulu is amazing in Becky
Yeah.
and the Wrath of Becky. Have you haven't watched that
I
yet,
still
eh?
haven't watched that one yet,
Oh man,
no.
it's so good. But yeah. Anyways, that's all I have. I don't know if you had any honorable mentions or
I'm just trying to see people from the ones we watched. Okay, he isn't showing up yet. No, I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah, no.
okay.
You're good.
All right. Well, take it away, Maestro. Let's talk about it.
So the first episode one is Steven sees a ghost, and just want to read the opening monologue that Steve says. No live organism can continue to exist sanely under conditions of absolute reality. Even larks and katydids are supposed by some to dream. Hill House, not sane, stood by itself against its hills, holding darkness within. It had stood so for 100 years before my family moved in, and might stand 100 more. Within, walls stood upright, bricks met neatly, floors were firm. Silence lay steadily against the wooden stone of Hill House, and whatever walked there walked alone.
I do really like that opening monologue.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like that's like I haven't read the book, but I feel like that could be like directly taken from the book.
Yeah, exactly. And I really like the way these first five episodes are written and spread out, because it pretty much each of the first five episodes, each episode takes it focuses on one of the kids for the most part. Like their story takes up this episode, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I love the way that this show goes back and forth from the young kids to the kids that are now, whether it be like someone is picking up something and then like the old person will pick up like the same thing or something like that. The editing is just fantastic.
Yeah, really cool transition pieces.
So yeah, it starts off back when they were young, and I just gotta say, young Nell and young Luke are so freaking cute together. They did such a good job together. Like you can tell right away, oh, they're twins, you know. They share a room together, and they are, you know, connected in ways that none of the other siblings are connected.
Luke's got his big Coke bottle glasses and his eyes are huge.
So they're sharing a room, they're about to go to sleep, and Nell wakes up and she's looking at something, and you don't see what it is, but it is the Bent Neck Lady, who is the main ghost in this series. Now there is other ghosts that show up in this series, and apparently there's a ghost in every episode.
There's 30 that they're like Easter eggs. So,
30.
yeah, so Flanagan's kind of placed them here and there to see if people could find all of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll be like in the shadows or the background, and you'll see like a face or a hand. And I've on this watch, I've been really trying to pay attention, but I've definitely
Yeah.
not found all of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So Steven is the older brother. Then there is probably Shirley, and then Theo, and then the two twins. Steven's the older brother, and basically the family, they buy these houses. The dad and mom will fix them up. The mom designs them and the dad fixes them up, and then they sell it and they move on to the next one. And Hill House is going to be the last one they do because they're going to build their dream house, because they'll be able to sell this house for a shit ton of money.
Oh, fuck yeah. If only the pesky ghosts didn't have other plans.
We see young Shirley. She is dancing in a room and some creepy stuff is happening. There's like someone trying to get in to the door, and then she looks under, there's no one there, and she goes back to dancing. You just see like the feet under the door. What do you think of the intro music and title sequence?
Oh, that's, I wasn't expecting like the opening credits.
Yeah.
I think the music throughout this whole series is incredible. I'm gonna be completely honest. I'm a skipper of the intros.
Okay.
So I don't really remember what it is, but
Okay. So for
fuck.
me, this, I usually am too, unless it's a title sequence and song that I really like.
Which is fair, and maybe I should
So
have.
like this one, I don't skip. You know, Game of Thrones, obviously, you can't skip Game of Thrones intro. I think it's just an awesome song, and just the credits are awesome.
Yeah. Damn. Now you got me wanting to watch it. What
So
is it? Just jog my
what?
memory, because I'm sure I watched on the first
There's
episode.
like the statues and stuff in the house that are like in the title sequence.
Okay.
But Stephen is a writer, and he writes about other people's experiences with ghosts, whether they be real or not, because he doesn't believe in ghosts. He doesn't believe in anything that these people are saying, but he writes about it because he makes a shit ton of money off it. And he is by far my least favorite character. I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that.
He is a fucking asshole.
He is, because like these people call him and they're like adoring fans, and they're just like, oh, I have this amazing, incredible, scary story to tell you, and or like heartbreaking story. And like the first woman that we see him interviewing, who like her husband passed away, and she sees him in her sleep, and like she hears the car accident happening when she's sleeping, and she's like, oh, my husband's coming back to visit me or to give me signs. And he just debunks everything. He's like, no, what you're hearing is the traffic outside your window. You have a leak in your roof. You're not seeing your husband, you're seeing shadows. And she's like, yeah, just completely tears her down, and then takes her story and makes a fucking book out of it.
Yeah, because he's like telling her, no, I'm not doing that. And then he sees that like she has her books, and he sees like the Hill House, and he kind of has flashbacks to like whenever he presented the script or whatever it is to his siblings' release to Shirley, and he just changed his mind. He's like, okay, I'll write about your husband and stuff, right?
Yeah, and he, so like he got, I think he got permission from his siblings to write the book about Hill House somewhat.
Yes and no, yeah.
But he kind of changed the story and made it seem like it was a lot different than what it actually was. Like he didn't tell the whole truth. He basically made like a fictionalized version of what happened to them.
Yeah. Because I think one of them mentioned that he wasn't there for 90% of the shit that happened, right?
Yeah, because like we're jumping ahead a little bit to the end of this first episode, but they're all already in the car. He's the last one that Hugh goes and grabs. So he hasn't seen anything that's happened except for one of the creepiest scenes in the series, in my opinion, is fucking Olivia running down the hallway chasing after them. I think it's so creepy, but like that's the only thing that he sees out of that whole sequence of events.
So Steven's thing is he's never seen a ghost, but he writes all these movies.
Books.
Whatever. Yes. We go back to young Nell. She is obviously creeped the fuck out and she wants to sleep on the couch. And we get a very quick scene of her again laying on the couch, and she wakes up and the bent neck lady is hovering above her. And she, when she sees these things happen, she can't move. She can't move her arms, her legs. She can barely even breathe, right?
Yeah, she basically has sleep paralysis whenever this happens. And I think her parents are assholes during all of this. If one of
Oh,
my, if.
her one. Oh, during a younger. Okay.
If one of my kids is having these like debilitating sleep paralysis, night terror events, I'm gonna let them sleep in my fucking bed. Like, if that's going to help them feel protected, like I'm not going to be like, oh, go sleep on the couch instead of your bedroom. How is that going to solve anything?
Well, I think she wanted to sleep there, but yeah, agreed. And I think that Olivia is obviously, I forget kind of the only thing I really remember about this whole series was like a few things here and there. But I kind of forget how the rest of it plays out, so I'm interested to see. But Olivia was fucking crazy. You know, she
Yeah,
wasn't all there.
she's already starting to have the effects of everything. Yeah.
But now older Nell, she is calling everyone. It is, so we've kind of jumped back and forth. So the day she's calling everyone is the day before the day where she goes and kills herself. And she's calling everyone. No one's answering. Shirley doesn't answer when she sees that it's Nell. Steven doesn't. He's talking to the girl he's about to write the book for. Luke is in rehab. Theo is, you know,
Having sex.
pretty much. So no one is there for her. And then whenever they find out that her dad is the one that helped her, tells them, oh, she's at home, she needs help. They're like, why the fuck would Nell call you? And like, it's like, none of you are there for her.
You all saw that she called and you all ignored her, except for Luke. Luke is the only one that has a good excuse.
I just think this whole family is like completely broken from this house and the death of the mother. But the only one that doesn't have this trauma and is writing about the trauma is Steven, and he didn't even go through any of this stuff. Like the rest of the episodes are all the younger other kids. Steven isn't even barely in it, right?
Yeah, we very rarely see young Steven. One thing that I find really interesting with the way that Flanagan did this show, all five of the children represent the five stages of grief. So Steven's in denial, Shirley is anger, Theo is bargaining, Luke is depression, and Nell is acceptance. So, and you can definitely see that with every single one of these characters, right? Like Shirley's angry with Luke all the time. Luke is obviously, we've talked about him enough that he's in complete denial about everything that happened. Nell has kind of just accepted her own fate in a sense. And then, yeah, Luke is, Luke turned to drugs and alcohol. So.
I don't fucking blame him with the shit that he went through.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And
There's a, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and Theo with the bargaining, because like the career choice that she's made, right? Like she helps kids that are in abusive families and stuff like that. So I feel like she's kind of bargaining, and using that as a using her job as a way to sort of like abolish everything that she went through.
And she wasn't even going to do that. She just got the money from Steven
Yeah.
from the book. So there is a red room in the Hell House, which they can't get into right now. I know it does come into play later on in the series, so we'll just leave that as that. Theodora is at a club. You find out that she likes women, and none of her family knows it, or they found out at Nell's wedding, which was funny.
Fucking love that scene so
Yeah.
much.
And she's always wearing gloves, which you'll find out in episode three, I
I
think,
think it's
why
three.
she wears gloves.
Yeah, because three was her episode.
So she lives beside the funeral home where Shirley owns the funeral home, and she brings this girl home, and Theo is I don't know.
She's a player, man.
She's kind of an asshole too, like Steven,
Yeah.
but she just says what's on her mind because the girls like ask her questions, and then basically he's like, "We came here to have sex and it's done, now leave."
I
Girl's
have
like,
to work in the morning.
yeah, the girl's like, "Okay, very early." Okay, yeah,
Yeah.
all right.
I get the hint.
Yeah. So Nell calls Hugh, tells her that tells him that the Ben Neck lady is back, and he says, "Where are you?" She says she's at home in bed, and he says to go to Stephen and Leah's, I think is Stephen's ex-wife's name.
Yeah, because Hugh doesn't even know that they're separated.
No, he doesn't. No. She's back.
But we can see that that Nell is in, like, she's parked her car out front of Hill House.
And so this flashback to the last night where Dad Hugh goes into Steve's room. Basically, he's freaked the fuck out. He's like, "We gotta fucking go." And Steve's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "We just gotta go." He hears like walking outside the door, someone trying to come in, and he's like freaking out, and he's like, "We gotta move. I'm gonna carry you, read you. Don't open your eyes." So he runs out, and Steve opens his eyes and sees his mom chasing after them. They go outside and then leave in the car, and just they're gone.
Yeah, and like all the kids are freaking out, like, are we gonna come back for mom? Like, what's going on? Well, Hugh leaves them all out in the car and then he goes back in the house for a minute.
And the mom's dancing around in the house, right?
Yeah. But then he ends up coming back out and they're like, where's mom? Like, are we going back for her? And then he just peels out of there.
And then I love whenever Nell kills herself, or you assume that she's to kill herself, but she's dead. All the kids wake up at the same time. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So Shirley's not happy with Steve. So the wife is dead. We learned that in this episode. We don't know what happened. We see Steve and Luke in the treehouse together. Luke is like drawing the ghost, and Steve asks him, like, "Where do you come up with this stuff?" And Luke's just like, "I don't know, just draw it." But it's clearly stuff that Luke has seen, I think, in the house. And now we're back to older Steve. He comes back to his house or his apartment, and we see Luke coming down the stairs with a camera and an iPad. And in episode four, I believe, it explains, because it goes to Luke's version of like the other side of his POV, right? But in this episode, you just think that he's stealing his stuff to get drug money. And Steven He's like, okay, you can keep the camera. Here's $200, but I need the iPad. Get the fuck out of here. Just lets him go buy drugs, even though it's not what he's using the money for. But he's such a dickhead, man.
Yeah, like, and so much of this family, like, besides Nell, well, like, even Nell, like, they just enable him so much, and like, they just, or they ignore his issues so much until it inconveniences them, and then they're just like,
Yeah.
then they
Like
come down hard on him.
I know you've worked in those places before, and I'm sure for family members, after a while it's the same old shtick, right? But it's still your family at the end of the day, right? So.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I was an addictions counselor for 7 years. So yeah, like, you do see the family and like the toll that it takes on the families and whatnot. But like, they still care enough to want to help them and to like want to be a part of their life. Like, you do see some that are just like up in arms and they're just like, I don't know what to fucking do with them anymore. But yeah, I don't know. It's a tough road for sure, but
So Steve spent the walk in his apartment, gets a call from his dad. He's talking to his dad. He's, putting his stuff away, and the dad's like, it's Nell. And she's like, oh yeah, she's not at home. And then Steve turns around and Nell's standing there in the corner. And we have an idea that she's dead, but he thinks she's real. And Steve sees a ghost because his dad says that Nell's dead. And he's like, well, she's standing right here. And then there's like a jump scare, and that's the end of the episode.
Why do you think Nell went to Steve?
Because he's the older brother who didn't protect her.
Okay, that's fair. 'Cause like, growing up, like, whenever they're kids, we see her have a much better relationship with Luke, obviously, and with Theo. Like, Theo is always coming in at the right time to kind of
Protect her.
protect her and stand up for her whenever Olivia's kind of getting her in shit for stuff that she didn't do. So I found it a little weird that she went to Steve. Unless it was her way of almost saying like fuck you. Because like, he was the least approachable for her throughout her entire life.
Good first episode.
Was very good.
So episode two is called Open Casket. This primarily deals with Shirley, for the most part, Shirley and Theo. So 303, that's a time in this movie where stuff happens, kind of. Like, this is when the kids wake up. For the most part, like, stuff is kind of happening, whether it be 303 or I love that because the kids are in different time zones when they're older, right? For the most part. So sometimes, like, they'll wake up and it'll be like, oh, 103 or something at someone else's house. Thought that was a nice little kind of thing they did. So they're at Shirley's funeral home. There is a family there who is getting ready to bury their grandma. Little boy keeps telling Shirley that he keeps seeing the grandma as a ghost. She just keeps talking to him, and she got no hair, no teeth. And I love Shirley showing him how they clean up grandma to make her look like she used to with the hair and the teeth and all that stuff. And it flashbacks to Shirley whenever she was younger, and I think they're burying one of her, I don't know, was it the mom's funeral? The flashback? Or the grandma, maybe.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was Olivia's funeral.
Yeah, so she is scared to go up to the casket because she thinks that's going to be this rotting dead body, right? Because it's like, oh, there's a dead body. But then, like, the
Funeral
what's their
director.
funeral director? Yeah, he, brings her up. He's like, come on, let's go see her. And then, like, Shirley brings a little boy up, and the grandma looks like the grandma. She got the hair on, the teeth, the makeup, her favorite dress, and he's like, well, it's grandma, and he's like happy, but like not happy, right? Because he gets to see her one last time, right?
It's really hard for a kid to understand what a funeral is. Like when my grandmother passed away, Brady, I think, was like two. And her funeral was in Kitchener, so we had to bring him with us. And trying to explain that to a 2-year-old, like, it is not easy, man. But like, and like, we didn't bring him up to her casket or anything like that. He was too young to really understand what was going on. But the way that the funeral director in the flashback and the way that Shirley dealt with it with the young boy, I think it's so like touching and heartwarming because it is such a confusing period of time for a small child like that. And to have somebody that I don't like fixed them, I'm using air quotations for that, to explain like the process and everything like that. I think it really would help a child.
So it flashback to Shirley now. This is where we learn that the mom designs the house and dad builds them. Her and Nell are going to play, and Shirley's playing by herself, and she hears this whining in the shed, and she goes in there, and there's kittens, and she has her camera, the kittens are there. And then she takes like the picture and the flash, and you just see this. I don't even know what it was when it flashed.
It was fucked, man.
But you're like, what the fuck was that? I thought it was like the mother cat just like fucked up.
I thought that too the first time I watched it, yeah.
Yeah, and then she didn't see what was there, but she's like kind of piqued her interest, and she like takes a picture again. And then it's like this fucking mask with this white shit everywhere, and you're like, what the fuck is that? But it turns out that it was a wasp nest that built itself around this mask, which is like very creepy.
So creepy.
And so they're like, what we do with these kittens, and the dad and the Dudley, Mr. Dudley, I think that's his name, the
Yeah, I
people who
think
look
so.
after the house. They're like, well, we'll just leave them here. The mom cat can't be far away. And then Shirley's like, but the dogs, and they're like, what are you talking about? She's like, I hear dogs like at nighttime. And he was like, is there any dogs here to Mr. Dudley? And Dudley's been like the housekeeper for ever, right? And he's like, there's no dogs around here, so they don't think there's any, but they let her keep the kittens. So we learned that Steve and Shirley are putting Luke in rehab, and then they find out how much it costs per month.
Shit ain't cheap,
Yeah,
especially
there's
down in the States.
like both of their checkbooks, like, okay, and then they're like, yeah, it'd be $6,000 per month, and there's like, excuse me.
And it's a minimum, what, like 6-month program or something like that?
Flashback quickly to younger Shirley. There's like banging stuff that's happening on her walls in her bedroom. And then older Steve is telling Shirley about Nell, and she doesn't believe him, obviously, but it happened.
Yeah, we get a lot of flip-flopping in this episode.
We do, yeah. It's a bit much sometimes, but yeah. So we flash back to younger Shirley. She wakes up to feed the kittens, and she's excited, and then one of them is not, it's dead. And she, young Shirley, is fucking crazy in this episode. Because at one point she is playing with the dead cat. She thinks that it's dead, and then they're like burying it, and then she's about to like put it down, and she's like, "Oh my God, it's still breathing!" And then like, some of dad are like, "Well, no, it's dead." And then the fucking mouth starts moving, and a fucking bug crawls out of it. Oh,
So gross.
that was, yeah.
So these kittens were all animatronic.
I could tell, yeah.
Yeah. They use CGI for like the eyes and the bugs coming out, but yeah, otherwise they were.
Yeah. So she finds out that Nell's dead, and she's a funeral director. So, she decides to be the one to work on Nell, which the family doesn't agree with. Like, Theo and her husband do not think this is a good idea, but she says, "I've seen the pictures, what she looks like. I'm gonna make my sister look like herself again."
I don't know, like I'm an only child. So I was gonna ask you now to tell me to go fuck myself if you don't want to answer the question. But like if you were a funeral director, would you be able to do this if something were to happen to Aaron or one of your brothers?
Probably not, honestly.
Yeah, man, like I don't have that like sibling bond because I'm an only child, but like I can think in my mind, like I don't think I would ever be able to fucking do that. Like
Yeah,
that would be
no.
so hard, man.
Yeah. And we see that, like, she's working on Nell and she's fine for most of what she's doing. Like, she's not just doing the makeup and like the hair. Like,
No,
she
she's.
is literally, she even tells Steve at one point, I don't know if it's this episode, but she is hands deep in her sister's organs.
She's completely doing it all by herself.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Could you like be a funeral director? Like, do you think you could do this? Like the embalming
No.
process and stuff? No.
No.
I think it'd be so. I don't want to be insensitive, but I think it'd be so interesting.
Yeah, one of my exes, she did co-op at not co-op. She wanted to be a funeral director, and she worked at K funeral home for a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do somebody that I know, but like,
No. Yeah.
I don't know. And like, I don't want to be insensitive, being like, ah, yeah, tearing open a dead body would be so cool. But
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Luke comes back. Who does he go to first? I forget. Does he go back to Shirley's house?
I want to say yes. I want to say
Oh
it's
wait, no,
surely
sorry.
yes.
This, so he, it's a flashback to either the day of, I think the day of Nell's wedding. He goes back to Shirley's house, and she is so fucking mean to him. She's like, "This is Nell's day, blah blah blah." And I don't think Luke was at the wedding either.
He tried to go and Shirley again stopped him at the door and she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And he's like, she wants me here. Like, I know she wants me here. And she's like, she doesn't fucking want you here. Like, go.
And the little flash, their flash forward, spoiler alert. End of episode five, I was fucking crying.
Yeah, dude, it's sad. It's so sad, man. I think so. Obviously, he didn't have this in mind, but like, I think Flanagan ended the mid-season episode so fucking perfectly. It's almost like it was made to be done in a podcast episode. You know what I mean? Like, the way that he ended episode five, it was just like a perfect middle ending point where we could split this up into two different podcast episodes. And like, obviously, that wasn't any part of his plan, but it's just like, I don't know. It was just, yeah, done perfectly.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, what else? Oh, I love the little thing. So it's after, so at some point Shirley is about to go to bed, and she has like the mini version of, I don't know if it was Hill House or if it was her funeral home. And she turns all the lights off and she's walking up and like the little fucking house light flashes on and off. Thought that was cool. So episode three, this one's called Touch. It mainly revolves around Theo. And right off the bat, we learn why Theo wears gloves all the time. She is in bed and there's a person in bed with her who's kind of like spooning her a bit, and we see her go over with an arm and is holding Theo's hand. And she thought it was Nell, but it was not Nell. It was a ghost of some kind. And so I think Mr. Smiley, I think, is what they call that ghost. Or they mention that name. And she hit now she has like, I don't know.
Mr. Smiley's
Telepath,
not a.
like, what?
Sorry, go ahead, finish. Sorry.
She has like telepathic powers now from this, kind of, right? Yeah.
But like, is Mr. Smiley actually a ghost? Because that's what the little girl calls her abuser.
Oh, the adopted girl. Oh yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, because
Unless.
she's a child therapist now, right?
Yeah, so unless like, because, and this is just coming to me now, like, she, the little girl calls her abuser. Yeah, she was adopted, so it's her foster. Was she adopted? No, she's in foster care. So her foster father is who Theo thinks is sexually assaulting her, but she doesn't say it's him. She says it's Mr. Smiley. So it's like, was it actually him or like, is it a ghost?
That abused.
Or like, because she doesn't say that he like sexually touches her, right? She just says that
Not
like,
to the girl, but later on in the episode, when she goes to the house, she realizes, she figures it out that it was him.
yeah. Or does she just assume that it's him?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Or is it actually a ghost?
True. So it quickly flashes back to 6 years ago. Steve is offering to share the book with everyone, his shares and his profits, but none of them want to do it. They call it blood money. But then Theo is like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go
I
in on
love
it.
Theo, man. Like, I think she's my favorite character in this show.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
She's just no bullshit. Like, fuck yeah, I'll take the money. Like, I don't know. I just feel like she's just kind of in her own world.
Now we go to young Luke and Nell. They see this elevator in the house and they're trying to play with it, and Mrs. Dudley is like, oh no, like you can't play with that, it's dangerous, it, you know, it's like basically to send stuff up and down.
The dumb waiter.
Dumbwaiter, yeah. And one of the scariest scenes in this series that I remember, this is the one that I remembered fucking terrified me. And I get why Luke is so fucked up the way he is. Like, Jesus. So, you know, she tells him, don't play the dumb waiter, but, you know, they're kids. So Luke's like, come on, Nell. Like, or is it Nell or no, Shirley?
Surely, yeah.
And she's like, okay, just go in. So he goes in and puts the thing down. Pushes the up button, and well, the fucking dumb waiter goes down, and he's like, "What are you doing? No, I'm not down here." And he goes down into the basement that they didn't even know they had. The parents don't know where it is, and it's dark as fuck. And he is in this dumb waiter. She can't get it to go up, and it's dark as fuck. And you see this fucking foot come out from behind the box and this fucking zombie thing come out, and you just hear upstairs him like screaming like crazy, and Shirley's like, oh my God, she keeps pressing the buttons, not fucking going up. I would be so fucking scared in that basement.
Dude, imagine being like a 6-year-old kid and that shit happening.
Even me as a 34-year-old.
This is it's absolutely terrifying. And like to put yourself in his shoes, it's just like Jesus Christ, man. But like
Yeah.
Lucas, this child actor has such a good scream for
He
a
does.
kid. Like,
Yeah.
and it's funny because like he doesn't I always kind of laugh to myself a little bit whenever he screams because he doesn't open his mouth to scream.
Yeah.
He just does like a like
Yeah.
that, but he screams so high pitched and loud. It's
Yeah.
great.
Love it. So, yeah, they get him back up. The parents do. And he's fucking got his pajamas torn and
Yeah.
like, Jesus, he went through something down there, man.
Yeah, man, this thing attacked him.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really write much down for this episode because nothing really happened. Like, I don't know. I felt like nothing really happened in this episode too much, right? Like, we see, Nell's getting married 2 years ago. We get the scene we quickly mentioned. Nell and Steve can't find the maid of honor. And so they're like, okay, I go check here, go check here. And they're like, okay, I can't find her. Then they go upstairs and we see the bridesmaid come out of the, or they're in front of a door and they hear like, not sex, but like stuff happening. And the bridesmaid comes out and they're like, okay, who do you think it was? Was it some guy's name? And then, like, they're about to leave, and Steve is like, no, I want to see who it is. And I was like, okay. And then Theo walks out, and they just look at each other and they just start laughing.
So great.
And I love the scene later, I think in episode 4 or 5.
Think it's in
It's a
five.
night of the wedding,
Yeah.
and Nell and Steve are like sitting at a table and they see Shirley over next to them, and Theo is like dancing with the bridesmaid, getting like kind of like hot and heavy, and like the look on Shirley's face is like, oh my God, what's happening? And then like Steve and Nell just laughing together.
Yeah, this one is like I love Nell. I think she's or Theo, I think she's a great character.
I really like
But
younger Theo a lot.
yeah, I do too. But like this one is showing a lot of her as a child psychologist, right? So like she's meeting with this girl, she's trying to figure out this girl's story, and then at the end of the episode we see that she's called the cops on the foster father and saying that he's molesting her or sexually touching her. So I mean, like it's not like a crazy episode. I think it's a really good episode, but I
It
think
was
that's
weird. So, like, how do you think she figured it out? Because she goes to the house and they're like, oh, like, I didn't know you did house calls. And she's like, yeah, on the odd occasion. Like, I think she's lying. And she's like, can I go to your basement? And they're like, yeah, okay. And she goes down there, there's the couch down there, and she like lays down and they start just like screaming and like saying no, and it's like, I don't know if, I don't think, did she touch, take her gloves off for this? I forget.
I don't
I don't know.
remember.
But she does this like fucking weird shit, and then she's looking up at the ceiling, and she like, it looked like a ghost because like the way like the wood was, like the, but then she's
Yeah.
like, okay, yeah, this is the guy. Yeah, what else happens? I mean,
I'm looking at the trivia. There's a lot of background ghosts in this one.
is there? I love that Theo is trying to find the basement as well when she's younger,
Yeah.
to try and help Luke, and she does end up finding the basement. And she goes down there and finds his fucking torn pajamas. Yeah.
Yeah, like we really see in this episode that Theo is a helper, right? Like I've already mentioned that she has been the one that has kind of tried to help Nell and like protect Nell and stick up for her. But she's always the one that's going around trying to solve what's happened and trying to help out her other siblings. So it makes sense that she kind of took on that role as an adult. And I don't know. I think Theo is just a really well-written character, and I think her story is really good. Although this episode itself isn't, I don't know. It's not like the most, I don't want to say action-packed, but you know what I mean.
Was this the episode where Nell meets her husband?
No, I think that's four.
Four? Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, because we don't
Yeah,
see him
it
very
is.
much.
Yeah, because that's the Twin Thane episode. Which I guess we'll get into. So episode four is called The Twin Thane. It mainly focuses on Luke and Nell. Mainly Luke, though. But this episode definitely pulls a punch in the first episode or first few minutes, because we see Luke is in rehab and there is a guy telling a story about some pretty fucking crazy shit. He is talking about how he saw a little girl get burned, I think, right? And how people think, like, oh, what happens to the eyeballs whenever you burn? And he's like, your eyeballs melt out of your face. And this guy, he just kept seeing this little girl's face with her melting eyes down her cheek. And I was like, that's fucking graphic as fuck.
Because he's an army vet, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And so he keeps seeing this happen. So he thought, oh, I'm gonna get high to stop thinking about this. But then when he was high, he had the great idea of probably stabbing his eyes out or doing something with his eyes because he's now blind. But now he says that he still sees the little girl in his mind.
Yeah, he thought that that was going to be enough to kind of drive her out.
We do quickly see Luke talking to Abigail, who is Abigail Hill, I think, who is a young girl, original owner of the house. And Luke's in rehab. He does stay in there for 90 days. He gets his 90-day chip. And his friend Joey, girl, is in rehab as well and has kind of made this bond with her through this, thing. She was sober. She's been there for a bit. I think she was going on a year, maybe
Yeah, something like that.
11 months, 13 months. So she helped him a lot and they're really good friends. Let me see. Steve calls Luke, and Luke ends up waking up at 12:03, and Nell is standing there in the room. So I think at this point he knows that something's happened because they just have that twin kind of connection, right?
Yeah. I think he just thinks that she needs help, though,
Okay,
which we
right.
kind of get in episode five once he finds out what actually happened. He's just like, no, like, it's not that.
I love all the scenes of just Nell and Luke just playing together. Like there's one scene, there's like this, it's like a tube that goes, it's like a intercom, right? But like for old school, right? And they're like throwing these buttons down, and Nell's at the top, but Luke's at the bottom, and throwing the buttons down, and She throws three down and only two come. And then what was the? Oh yeah, there's a voice yelling like Clara, and it's like so creepy, man. And then I think Luke's upstairs because he's trying to throw the stuff down or like listen to Nell. And then you see like the fucking old lady just sitting on the bed. Oh man,
So creepy.
yeah.
Yeah, I agree though. Like, I love watching these two interact because, like, I have twins, a boy and a girl twin.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's funny to see, like, our future in a sense, like the way that they're going to interact with each other and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was fun to watch them. And
Yeah.
it helps, like, we've already talked about it, but like, these kids are so fucking adorable, man.
They are.
It's
Yeah.
just, they're just so fun to watch.
Yeah. So Joey left in the middle of the night. She left a note for Luke saying, "Don't follow me." But obviously, he's going to. And we get another flashback of Luke, young Luke, he's asleep, and we meet the ghost with the cane and the fedora hat. Fucking ginormous fucking dude. He's fucking creepy too, man.
So creepy.
Like, he doesn't even do anything. He's just fucking walking around, man. Like,
He doesn't even walk, dude. He just floats.
yeah. But he has
Yeah.
this cane, and like, Luke hears it outside. He like opens up and he's like, look down the hallway, and then he just like looks up and he's like, oh. And the guy is just like there floating, the fucking huge ass dude looking through all the doors. And Luke like runs in, runs under his bed, and you see like the fucking guy open the door. And just like the bottom of his feet, because it's like from Luke's POV, right? So you just see like the bottom of his feet and the cane just like,
Putting by.
yeah, like goes to Nell's bed, stands there, and then like goes to leave. And then like Luke runs out of breath. So he's like, and the guy like fucking just turns it around and comes over and like just like bends down. Oh man, that's creepy.
So creepy. And like, it's not even a jump scare. Like,
No.
Flanagan could have easily made this into a jump scare, but he didn't. He just kept
Yeah.
that atmosphere and kept that tension, and it just became one of the creepiest scenes in these first five episodes.
Yeah.
But the guys, he's looking for his hat.
Oh, Luke took it, right?
Yeah, because Luke finds this hat earlier. Was it in this episode or was it the previous episode? But anyways,
Yeah, it
yeah, he
must have
finds
been,
his
yeah.
hat and he's playing around with it and he wears it around the house and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then we see the shadow from Luke's POV. We see the shadow on the wall of the ghost picking up the hat and putting it on its head. And that's all
Yeah.
he wanted.
Yeah.
And he was about to leave. And then, like you said, Luke gasped for breath
Yeah.
and he comes back.
Yeah. So Luke finds Joey. She couldn't cut it. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, this episode kind of ended weirdly.
But he goes back for, he says he's gonna help her. He calls the I don't know, manager or head person at this rehab kind of place they're at. And she says, "No, like I can't let you guys back. You know what the rules are. Once you leave, there's limited beds here and I can't help you."
Yep, you left, and that's the consequences. And like, kudos to her for sticking to the guns and like to the rules. But
Yeah.
at the same time, I was just like, I feel so bad for
I
Luke.
know. Because
I
even
don't.
Luke's, he says, like, I don't need a fucking bed. I'll sleep on the fucking floor if I have to. Like,
Yeah, and like, we know he hasn't used, so it's just like, good for you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like, shit, man. Like, this poor guy, he's like, I don't give a shit about Joey at all. I
Yeah,
just, she's
me
just
either.
like a whatever, a side character. Like, I don't really feel
Yeah.
too bad for her, but I feel bad for Luke.
And now we get the POV from the first episode of him. He's trying to find money for Joey to get her a hotel room. I can get enough money for a night or two. And she's like, oh my God, yes. But then, like, she fucking, ah, man, she pissed me off. Like,
Yeah.
I guess the drugs, she just needed the drugs more, but he gets the money from Steve, and then she fucking pretends, "I'll have to take a fucking wicked piss. I'm just gonna leave," and then, leave Steve, and he's
Luke.
going, sorry, Luke, yes, going crazy, right?
Yeah, like he has throughout his entire life, he has continued to see this man with the top hat.
Yeah.
Or like it's like a bowler cap.
Oh, this is the episode where he's doing the 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And throughout the whole series, you kind of see him doing it and you wonder kind of why he's doing it. And then in the one of the flashbacks, he's as a child, he's teaching Nell, like, this is what you need to do. You need to get seven rocks because there's seven of us in our family. And then you need to just count them. And sometimes it'll take a lot of counting. Like sometimes you need to do it a whole bunch of times. But it will help you. And it's just like, dude, man, like this kid is so intuitive. Like, and he's like 6 years old. But it's, I don't know, it's just a really heartfelt moment that we see between these two twins.
And you really feel for Luke in this episode because at this point, Nell's dead. And it has taken a toll on his body that he has no idea what the fuck is going on. He is cold. He looks like he's on drugs or coming
He
down from
does.
drugs, right? But he's lost Nell, but he doesn't know. It's just that fucking connection. And he goes to what he thinks is Steve's house, but Leah answers the door and she tells him, like, oh, me and Steve separated a few weeks ago. And then she sees Joey, like, on the sidewalk, fucking look like a druggie. And he looks like he's fucked up too. So he's like, can I get some money? Like, need a hotel. And she's like, oh, we've been over this, blah, blah, blah. And she doesn't give him money.
She lets them in, though.
And that has a flashback of them, like, at dinner at Steve's. And Steve's a dick to him there too. Like, he's like trying to tell, like, he invites Joey with her, and Steve is like a dick, and I don't know. But then we see him at Steve's apartments, and he gets the money, and then she fucking leaves, and Luke ends up calling Steve, calling one of the other Steve, or like the manager of the rehab.
Yeah, he calls her again. And he's just like, look, like she's gone. I just need somewhere to stay. He's like, I haven't used, I just need like a warm place. He's like, I'll sleep on the floor. I don't care. He's like, just like my muscles ache. Like I feel like I'm in withdrawal, but I haven't used anything. I just need somewhere safe to stay.
And then I think they call back to the payphone, or like Steve is at the place, and Steve tells the girl, like, oh, Nell's dead, his twin sister. And then they tell Luke, okay, we're coming to get you. And then while this is happening, you see Luke is standing there, and the fucking fedora guy is right behind him. And he's doing the fucking 1, 2, 3, like walking in a straight line, and the guy just keeps following him, like, oh man.
It's so creepy. And then Steve finally turns around to face the guy, and it
Luke.
ends, or Luke, sorry, turns around to face the guy finally, like he's never done this. And then it ends up being Olivia, like
Yes.
their mother. And I can't remember what she says, but her eyes end up glowing like super bright. And then he holds his hand up in front of his face, and it ends up being the car with Steven, the counselor.
And then they get out, and he goes up to Luke, and he tells him about Nell, how Nell is dead. Because, Luke is like pleading to him, like, I can't feel my arms and legs. I'm freezing cold. I'm not on drugs. And he tells Nell that Nell's dead and says it's suicide. And then the episode ends with Luke saying it wasn't suicide because he knows that the bent neck lady did this. All right, we're getting there, people. Don't worry. So episode 5, the bent neck lady. One of the highest rated TV episodes of all time. Like, I think on IMDb has like a
9.5,
9.5,
which I'll
which
get to later.
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So Yonel sees the bent neck lady again. She is hovering over her. I think that's the scene I'm talking about. Then the next night, Olivia and her are talking about this locket that has the twins in it, and Nell asks her, "Mommy, can I have that locket?" And then Olivia says, "When you're older," which comes into play later at the end of the episode. Yeah. So older Nell, she is seeing well, a doctor, not a doctor. She is having these spasm things whenever the bent neck lady shows up. She can't move, and this doctor says, "Oh, it's sleep paralysis." And I love their connection and the way they met, and like it's really happy but also sad as fuck because they are so in love, and oh man, it's so good. I love their like conversation together whenever they first meet, because he's like explaining to her, "Oh, it's I think it's like sleep paralysis," and she's like, "Okay, like what's that?" And he's like, "Well, you just see like hallucinations and stuff like that whenever you're stressed out or something like that." And then he's like, "Do you drink coffee?" And then she's like, "Oh, are you asking me it right now?" And he's like, "No, it's on the questionnaire." And she's like so embarrassed. She's like, oh my God. And he's like, "But I was gonna ask you after it." And then we see them like go on the date and like having multiple dates, kissing, and they look so happy together. And she's like still having sleep issues. It's on like their wedding night. And like whenever she has these issues, like he like immediately wakes up and like turns the light on, and he's like, "Oh, you haven't had one of those in a long time." So like, what do you think brought the bent neck lady back? Like, do you think it was Olivia from the other side trying to bring Nell to her, or like what is your take?
I really don't know. Like, I don't know if it's just a case of like Nell's not supposed to be happy. 'Cause it
Yeah.
just seems like everything's kind of going well in her life, and then all of a sudden this starts happening again.
Because pretty big twist at the end of this episode
Yeah, and it's
is
like it's
we
fucking
learn
wild.
that Nell is the bent neck lady. She is the one that has been haunting Nell since she's been a little girl.
Which I don't quite understand. I don't quite have a grasp
So,
on that.
because like the bent neck lady is gone. She's gone for however long they were together for, right? Until their wedding night, basically, right? And then she comes back. So maybe, yeah, you said like Nell has been happy for however long this is, a year, 2 years. Maybe she just can't be happy anymore, right?
Yeah, because what's her? Hers is acceptance, right? So, yeah, I don't even know how that would play into like if she was supposed to be like the depression one, right? It would kind of make sense. Whereas, like, okay, you're happy, I'm gonna fucking ruin that. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I
but
don't know.
yeah, so she saw her mom on wedding night, I think. And then they are in LA 8 months later, and she starts having this sleep paralysis. She is not breathing, she's like glued to the bed, and Arthur wakes up and he goes up to turn the light on, and he just stops right as he gets up, and then he just drops fucking dead. And we only saw this guy for like 2 minutes, and I was like, so fucking.
Oh man.
I was so
It
sad when he died. I was like,
was
no. And
heartbreaking.
then Nell, I think that she, the actress, just makes you feel her emotions because she gets up eventually. She's go to his side and she's like Arthur, and she's like bawling her eyes out. And like, man, it's a lot because you just saw them go from like meeting each other and like happy, get married in this like amazing wedding. They look so happy. And now 8 months later, he's dead. And she's like, yeah.
She like I don't I can't say enough good things about Victoria Pedretti. She absolutely killed this role, man. And like her just her facial expressions and the way that she portrays like pain and fear and just every fucking emotion that she has to show in this series. She's just so fucking good, man. And like she went on to do two seasons of You. I think it was two. Like she played Love in You and she was amazing in that. And just like I hope that she has a very long and bright future in acting because she is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, they brought her back for Bly Manor.
That's right. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, she's the main girl in Bly Manor, which is
Yeah.
kind of weird. Maybe that's why I didn't watch it. But yeah, anyway, so Arthur is dead. It's now she's seen a therapist, I think. It's been almost 2 years since she's seen the Bendick lady. So like Bendick lady came as God again, right? Like so.
Because she was always kind of the target of Olivia too, right? So, and I don't understand why, and I can't remember if they explain it later on in the series. But like, even as a child, like we see that there was writing on the wall, and Olivia's trying to get her in shape for that, and Nell's like, I didn't fucking do it. I shouldn't say fuck. She's a small child, but she's like, I didn't write that down. And then Theo comes in and again tries to protect her. She's like, she says she didn't do it, so obviously she didn't do it. But it's just like Nell, for whatever reason, is always like Olivia's target.
Yeah, because we see at the end of the episode, Olivia is the one that wrote the shit on the wall. Come home, Nell. Right? Yeah, so young Nell finds a teacup set. It was Jacqueline is the girl's name, the young girl, I think.
Jacqueline.
No, Jacqueline was the mom. I think. Yeah, so Nell's name was on the wall. Yeah, young Theo. Yeah, so Theo could tell that it wasn't Nell that wrote it from, 'cause she put her hand up on the wall, right? Older Nell is bringing Luke to rehab, and he explains to her that he wants to get high one last time. And you know, she obviously doesn't want to do it, but he's like, just one more, and then that'll get me there. And so she goes and buys him drugs, and he fucking puts it in his foot, which that's crazy.
Hard to find the track marks in your foot.
True, yeah. So she's at the apartment with Theo. Theo is there to visit. They were gonna go, you know, on a day trip together. But then Nell is like, well, you're gonna do the thing you told me you would do, and he's, I guess so. So she wanted Theo to touch the pillow with her hand to kind of know if Arthur was still around, I think. And then she like grabs Theo's hand and puts on the floor, and then Theo kind of freaks out, and they say some words that they probably shouldn't have said to each other, and Theo leaves. And I guess that would be the last conversation they had, right?
Yeah.
So.
And again, it's poor Nell trying to get some sort of answer or like to have something that she can hold on to in her life.
So Nell shows up to one of Steven's book signings, and she just goes off because her therapist, well, didn't tell her to do this, but you know, But in the middle of the questionnaire, she just stands up and asks him, "Why did you do all this? We're your family. You're supposed to be my older brother. You weren't there to protect me." And he's still a dickhead. He pulls her aside and is like, "This is my fucking op my work. It's my office." And
I can understand him being angry 'cause
I get it too.
this could be like career suicide for him. But at the same time, like, she's your family, dude. Like, you need to be a little more perceptive of her feelings and what she's going through. And if this is how she's feeling, then I feel like as her oldest sibling, you need to kind of be there.
So it's a flashback to the last night at Hill House. They drive back to the hotel. The dad basically drops him off and he's like, "Okay, I'm leaving again to go get mom." And he leaves all five kids there and he's like, "Lock the door behind me." The kids still don't know what's going on with mom. And so the next morning, the dad comes home, and everyone else is asleep but Nell. And he goes outside with Nell, and you know what happened, but he's like fucking covered in blood, right? And then you see the cops roll by, and one of the cops come in, and the dad's like, "Yeah, I called the cops, told them I'm here, I gotta go get some questioning, blah, blah, blah. Your aunt will be here in whatever, 3 hours or whatever it is." It's like, okay, the cops are just gonna stand outside and make sure you guys are good. Like, it's
Which is
crazy.
just it's fucking crazy to me. Like all the shit that just happened and you're gonna leave your kids not once but twice now.
Another quick scene. Nell's at the hotel and she sees Luke on the ceiling. Which is a cool scene. So I guess get into the final scene here of the episode.
So good.
Nell is in the hotel. She calls dad from the house from the first episode, and well, we see that she's outside of the Hill House, and she's talking to dad. And I love that when she pulls up, like it's all dark. But then as she's talking to dad, all the lights start to cut. Like they don't like just flick on, they kind of like glow on. And then like that
Porch light kind of
the
thing.
porch light goes on and off, like what the mom would say, when it's time to come in, they'll turn the porch light on and off. And she walks in and it's older Nell, and like all the lights are on, the house is made up. We see like Luke, young Luke run in. And he's like, "No, where were you? Like, you're late," or something like that. He like runs off, and then we see Steven run in. He's like, "Dell, you're finally here." He's like, "Where'd Luke go?" And she like points to him. Hugh comes down the stairs and says something, and she's like, "Oh, you're finally here for reception is starting." And honestly, this scene made me tear the fuck up, like.
Man, it's so heartbreaking.
Because the mom brings Nell upstairs and she's like, "You get ready for your reception. Go on my room in the middle drawer, and there's like a dress there." And she walks down, and all of her like sisters are there, and her bridesmaid, and the dad, and Steven. And then she turns around, and there's Luke standing there, like in the fucking in his suit, and it's like, ah man, like she's like crying and happy, and he moves out of the way, and there's Arthur. And she's like crying, and it's like, and they like embrace and kiss, and she starts dancing around with him. But then it's like flashing back to what is actually there. And it's just the fucking disgusting dark house, and Nell is like danced around this whole house. And
By yourself.
oh man, it's so good.
I'm getting
So
chills
good.
just like,
I
oh.
know. Yeah, I literally just watched it like 20 minutes before we recorded. But then Nell like kind of snaps out of it, and she's like at the top of that spiral staircase that goes upstairs, and her hand is on like a lasso, not lasso, fucking
A noose.
noose, and she's like kind of like startled, and then she turns around, the mom is there, And she has the necklace from when she was younger, and she's like, it's time now. Gives her the necklace, and she puts it on Nell. Nell like feels something off about the necklace. Like she just feels taken over by something, right?
And doesn't Olivia say like it's your turn now, or it's yours now, or something like that?
Something like that. And then she like snaps again, and she's like on the outside of the girl of the railing within the noose around
News.
her neck. And she's like crying. She's like, no, like mom, no. And the mom's like, you know, you're coming with me, no, not with me now, but some along those lines. And then just a brutal fucking scene, man. She just like fucking falls, and just the way it was filmed and like just shot, and like the sound just was brutal. And she's hanging there, and then you see her like drop down, and it's like her in front of like older Nell, like in the hotel or something like that. Drops down again. Oh, it's whenever she killed Arthur. Drops down again. It's her when she's getting her water bottle out of the lobby. Then like drops down, and it's her above fucking Nell's couch when she was younger.
And she's no.
And then drops down, and it's her in front of the bed when she first sees the Bedneck Lady. And the camera goes to her, and it's Nell, and she's screaming, and then it like gets all like dark and stuff. Yeah, so I'm excited for the rest of the episodes.
Me too, man. And like I've already said it, but like I don't quite understand how this ghost of Nell has haunted her throughout her entire life. Like it's actually her from the future. And I don't know, I can't remember if it gets explained in later episodes or not. But dude, this episode, man, this is like fucking peak TV.
It
Like,
is,
man, those final, like the final 10 minutes of this episode, like you said, like I wasn't in tears, but it was just like, I feel so bad for Nell because she's finally, even though it's all in her mind, she's finally getting like this acceptance from her family, from her mother. Everybody's in the house for her, and she's finally getting to see Arthur back, and then it all just gets fucking taken away from her. And it's so heartbreaking, and like you feel so bad for Nell because she's, I don't know, she's just I don't, such a good character.
She is, yeah. So
But
yeah. That's it.
yeah, like yeah, I don't know how, like this could have been the end of the series, and we're only at the halfway mark.
I know, yeah.
It's crazy. Like Flanagan is a fucking genius, man. Like, oh, he's so good. Anyways,
That's the way the blood splatters.
yeah. All right, so we're kind of gonna rank the episodes from 1 through 5. Do you want to do that before I do the Rotten Tomato? Well, there's no Rotten
Yeah, sure.
Tomatoes, so I'm gonna do the IMDb scores because there's no Rotten Tomato scores for each individual episode. But okay, so how about you go ahead and rank your episodes?
We do 5 to 1.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So let's do all 5 right now.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So episode 5, I or for ranking number 5, I have episode 3, A Touch. For fourth episode, I have episode 2, Open Casket. For number 3, I have episode 1, Steven Sees a Ghost. And then, number 2, I have episode 4, A Twin Thing. And then my favorite episode, obviously, episode 5, Bedneck Lady.
All right. So we're actually pretty different
Okay.
until, yeah. But anyways, so my fifth ranking is episode 2, which
Okay.
is Shirley's episode. I don't like Shirley as much as a character. Even like as an adult or a kid, she just wasn't, I don't know. I really struggled with my third and fourth, but episode 4 is my fourth ranked. I think it's really
Okay.
good, but it's only the ending of the episode that made it really good for me.
Okay.
Throughout the whole episode, I was kind of like, meh, on it. But then, like, yeah, those last few minutes are really good. Episode one is my third ranked.
Okay.
I just think it's a really, really good way to start a series. But yeah, Steve's a piece of shit. My second ranked is episode three.
Okay.
Just Theo is just, she's my favorite character in the show. I think she's amazing. I think she's a super interesting character, and I'm really excited to kind of follow along with her throughout the rest of the series. And then obviously episode five is my top ranked.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. That episode is just
Yeah.
perfection.
It is, yeah, it
So
really is.
it's so good. But yeah, like I said, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have an individual episode ranking or rating, sorry. So I went to IMDb, and I will go through that right now.
Okay.
So episode one had a rating of 8.1 out of 10, which is very solid. Episode two is the lowest ranked episode in these first five.
Okay.
And it got a 7.8.
Still not
Still a very good rating.
bad.
Episode three has an 8.6. So it's our second highest in the top five or in the first five. Episode four had an 8.5. And then episode five had a 9.5 out of 10.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. So our first half average is an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. That's probably what I would put it at too, actually.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair score. I'm interested to see how the second half of the series pans out ratings wise to see if it's better or worse. But realistically, episode five is what really kind of boosted it from like an 8 to an 8.5,
Definitely.
probably. But yeah. So very solid first half of this series. It's understandable why people love it.
For sure.
Are we gonna save the letterbox stuff for the second episode once we've completely finished it? All right. Okay, so we are gonna do a scare rating for the first five episodes. Do you want to go ahead and kick that
That's
off?
just altogether, right?
Yeah.
I would probably give the scare rating a 8 out of 10. Very solid scares. Not every episode has scares. There's no really jump scares in this first five episodes. It's just kind of creepy, and the setting and the sound, music, the way it was shot, just yeah. So I'll go 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Scariest scene. I mean, I could go with the Luke in the basement scene.
Okay.
Just can't get scarier than that, in my opinion.
Like, are we gonna do a Would You Survive? I don't know. Yeah. No?
Maybe for the
Okay.
second episode, maybe.
All right. That works. My scare rating for the first five episodes, I also gave it an 8 out of 10. Like you said, like there's not a lot of jump scares, but Flanagan is just a fucking master of tension and like creepy settings. He just does it so well. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that does it better than him. And it's just complete tension building throughout the whole thing. And like when you think there's going to be a jump scare, there's not. And he just like makes you formulate this thing that in your head that you think's going to happen, then it just doesn't. But he's just so good with the creepiness. My scariest scene, I have two. I said either the floating man in Luke's bedroom. I just thought that was so creepy, and I'm picturing myself in young Luke's shoes hiding under his bed, and this thing just comes floating by. It's just, I don't know, it's super creepy. And the other one I put in episode one when Steve sees now, what did I didn't mean to put that. When Steve sees his mother running down the hallway, there's just something about that. And I think it goes back to like my fear of being chased. Cause it's just like, I don't know, like they're running out of the house. He has no idea what's going on. And his dad tells him not to open his eyes. And then of course he opens his eyes and he just sees his mother just like bounding down the hallway after them. And it's just like, oh my God, dude, like that would be so scary as a kid. But yeah, I don't know. I just fixed it. So yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the end.
That's the
Okay.
end,
We're closing in on 2 hours on this episode, so I think it's a perfect time to kind of pull the plug for now. And we'll be back soon. I don't know exactly when, but it'll be before the end of the month to talk about part two of this amazing series.
Looking forward to it.
Me too. Me too. I think this is a really easy show to kind of talk about. Just, yeah. Anyways. But in the meantime, we haven't recorded anything in a month, so we definitely think you should check out some of our stuff. If you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. And there's a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's also links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Follow along on our Letterboxd to see our Hooptober challenge that Brooke's probably gonna fail, but I mean,
Yeah, maybe you'll see.
I'm gonna try really hard to finish mine. But yeah, it's a kind of a big undertaking for a couple busy guys like us. But yeah, anyways, keep your ears and eyes open for when part two of The Haunting of Hill House is going to release.
Yes, sir.
And we will see you later.
Peace.